Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Ed, weekend ahead, but some other stuff to look back. Happy post-Thanksgiving, and we got to catch up on some stuff since we didn't have a show last week.
Yeah, we didn't have a show last week. I mean, everybody thought there was no fucking sports because there was no UFC. But, we took off for Thanksgiving. There was actually a lot going on that week leading into Turkey Day. I guess we should mention it right off the bat. We didn't get to talk about it. We kind of Matt and I almost did an emergency reaction video. But, it was Thanksgiving week and we were kind of just like, we don't know enough about what went on. But, PFL acquired Bellator and... I wrote something for My MMA News, if you haven't checked it out yet. I mean, after I had my doubts about it, I wrote about all the positive moves they could make and shake up the landscape of MMA. All the things pretty much people complain about, or people that have been watching the sport long enough to know that it's time for something new to happen. This mixed martial arts is still yet to evolve and do new things, or combat sports in general. I think PFL is in a ripe spot to do it by acquiring Bellator. They can pick up everything, the tournaments that they do. You have their seasonal tournaments. They can do the Bellator tournaments. You have a lot of good champions in Bellator now that you can do your – they're obviously going to do their champ versus champ fights next year. There's divisions that the UFC doesn't have that the PFL can start in, whether they want to do it in Bellator, do it as a PFL, champ thing or co-promote or – SmackDown versus Raw, the recipe. There's a lot that they could do there. So I'm hopeful for something positive, despite the fact that they don't really sell their shit that well. Because I'm sure you all know by now, they did have a championship, their season ender on the day after Thanksgiving. And I know folks watched it, but I'm pretty sure nobody watched the press conference that they had on Thanksgiving Day.
No, 4 o'clock press conference on Thanksgiving Day is probably probably not a huge crowd filler.
Worst move you could do.
like you said, we held off an immediate reaction because for me it was going to be pretty much negative. And I feel like rightly so. I feel like the history of MMA, the short history, the 30 years of known MMA in this country, this has never worked out before. It's always just led to the demise of everything. it has. Every organization that's tried to buy another one, other than the UFC, everybody that tries to openly compete with the UFC, everybody who tries to do this kind of thing has always failed. So on the positive, if it works, this could be the best move in the history of the sport because it could actually elevate everything to a new level of competition between the UFC and the PFL. But unfortunately, I'm selfish. We've unabashed, Bellator stands. You're wearing the sweater still right now. Mm-hmm. I've talked on ad nauseum about, my history going to Bellator events. And so for as a personal point, it makes me sad just because it's an event that I'll never be able to go watch again. Mm-hmm. They're already talking about doing the Bellator stuff internationally, which yeah. I think is a mistake. Especially if that just means you're going to push maybe I'm delusional, but in my mind, the Bellator fighters are way more famous and known in the United States than the PFL fighters. Mm. Maybe I'm in my own bubble, but like, I don't know anybody on this planet who could name more than two PFL champions. Mm. I shouldn't say that. Obviously we have MMA, people that we could reach out to and they'd give us an answer in a second, but I don't know any casual fans that just know more than one. I don't know if any can even name one, to be honest with you, of just the average MMA fan that you see. Whereas Bellator seems like there's some name guys. Again, we were into the organization, so they were good to us. But I just feel like more people know Ryan Bader and Pitbull and,
Brothers,
Patchy
Mix, Eduardo Dantas, Warren, like all the
name, like the. It just seems like there's so much more, there. Even Eblem seems like he had picked up a nice,
Oh, yeah. He was literally I don't know if he's been better than he's literally He's so good. He's one of those people that, like, if the UFC had a chance to scoop him up with this whole thing, they should have. You know,
it just seems sad to me. Yeah. Like, if all of a sudden Patchy Mix's next five fights are over the European landscape at 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, when you know, like, if that's what they're saying they're going to do, they'll make Bellator their international events. And
obviously their timing and scheduling is not, they haven't been picking the greatest. It's not good.
They still haven't been able to stream their events from Europe. Mm-hmm. So you're saying we're going to send Bellator to our international audience. I don't remember the last time. I mean, maybe they figured it out last minute, but I know the last PFL that they had in, France with, Dumba fighting, they didn't, it wasn't available.
That's right, yeah.
Legally in the United States to watch. I'm going, well, France is one of Bellator's stopping grounds. So I guess if they swing into France, that me and you will never be able to watch it. So I'm concerned about that. I also don't think they'll keep Bellator around very long, because when they do the head-to-head matches, I think Bellator is going to dominate. Well, yeah. And I think it's going to damage the brand PFL by doing that. Because how do you rebound off that if Bellator sweeps through the PFL and then you brand your brand PFL as the main, your main big, you know, you're the PFL, you bought Bellator, you know? So to me, it would make more sense to honestly absorb everything and just have fighters fight each other, have some tournaments on the side to establish championship contenders. Maybe you still win $1 million, but it's $1 million and a title shot. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then the champions fight for $1 million when they defend their belt. Like, let's do this right. If we're going to act like we're a bunch of, you know, oil, you know, tycoon billionaires, then let's do it right. You know, let's do it right. So I don't know. I just don't. Don Davis, you know, some of the stuff he said, I was not super familiar with him as I was many of the other MMA promoters / owners / presidents, whatever. He seems like he's saying some of the right stuff now, but I don't see how it works very well. Because if the UFC feels any pressure, they start countering Bellator pay-per-views and Bellator, or not, you know, PFL events.
They're all with the same broadcast partner. Because I forget when I shared the press release that they extended. It was either yesterday or today that they've extended their, it's multi-year now with ESPN. So PFL's with ESPN. UFC is still with ESPN, at least for till the end of this 2024. I think their deal's till 25. So, I mean, they can't really, I don't think, and Dana White's kind of hinted at it, that he doesn't really try to throw too much shade their way, even though he did not the last time when he talked about them not selling a gate. I mean, when Doug Yanofsky asked the question at the press conference that he asked about co-promoting, he got a little crazy with it. But I think that was like, you know, that the TKO Vince McMahon influence talking before he realized, wait a second. Well, I mean, we're both on the same network. At that moment, though, it wasn't, you know, it was up in the air whether or not PFL would renew, and they just did. I'm assuming ESPN wants to just own that chunk of big chunk of combat sports, because now, you know, if it's all under the same banner, PFL, Bellator, UFC are all ESPN properties now, at least for broadcast rights.
For now, I don't think UFC is in the long run going to stick with ESPN. That's just my opinion. I don't think they're going to stick with Disney owned company.
Yep.
I think there's probably already a lot of stuff behind the scenes. You've heard mentions of Dana White basically telling people to F off if they want him to change, you know, tweets and ads and stuff like that. So
I agree.
You know, reading between the lines and kind of knowing other things that are going on this planet right now, Disney, I kind of point a finger at Disney, and it makes a lot of sense. This is where the whole thing and the thing we've brought up about promoting and people promoting events, and Josh Thompson and some of those guys having issues about Bellator, right? And we said it. PFL is now an ESPN company. But when PFL was on ESPN before, PFL was never on SportsCenter. PFL was never getting advertised. You want the biggest way for PFL to become a challenger for the UFC is if the UFC leaves ESPN and ESPN promotes PFL like it's the number one organization in the world. If they do that as their pay-per-view, as their thing, and they don't put UFC on ESPN, they don't UFC pay-per-view, you don't know about it anymore on ESPN. Mm-hmm. That could change things big time. Yeah. That's all of a sudden when you start selling pay-per-views and stuff for PFL, when you have the PFL fighters all over SportsCenter, when you have them getting interviewed by Stephen A. Smith. I know he's not a big, you know, a lot of MMA guys don't like the guy, but he has a trillion viewers.
Yeah, if
you want, you know, you want a PFL champion to be known, put him on First Take with Stephen A. Smith in the morning. I mean, it's just how it works. So there is a potential, and I was always surprised ESPN did not push PFL more when under their banner, but I think this re-up, I always felt like it was almost like a time buy prior, where it was like, okay, we'll kind of give you the time, but we're not really going to do anything with you. I feel like this one, maybe re-upping, maybe it's more of a real deal between the two, where they want to promote each other. So
yeah, and I think that happened because ESPN, especially if you follow the ESPN MMA like news channels and cycles and whatever, you know, they were not one of those. There weren't like everybody. Dick rides and only writes news about the UFC. They hardly wrote about Bellator, but ESPN did, especially when there were significant title changes, you know, big giant events like 300 was covered by ESPN. And even this acquisition was, I mean, obviously for the network issue was covered by ESPN. So when they listed Patchy Mix for a couple of their nominations for fighters of, I forget, of the year or best in, you know, pound for pound or whatever they had their list there, they did put Bellator fighters in there. So at least in that sense, I feel like because of Bellator's acquisition, maybe that made ESPN say, wait a second now, you know, don't walk out the door so fast, honey. We're not done talking, you know? So
I was kind of thinking, hey, we kind of got like a UFC clone here that if we put the ESPN banner behind it and really push it, we probably can make a lot of money off of a deal that was real cheap for us, as opposed to the deal they got to work out with the UFC. And
yeah, plus, you know, it could, exactly, the deal, like you just said it, the deal they could work out with the UFC, if they want to extend with them and do more, like this is probably leverage they're probably going to try to use to say, like, hey, if you guys want to leave, go ahead, we have PFL Bellator, so we'll still have combat sport, you know, where else are you going to go? It could be one of those, you know, because who knows how these deals go. And when it comes to negotiations, I mean, you and I don't make deals that large, but I could only imagine, because I'm reading a lot of shit now about people that make deals like this. So you never know what they're doing just for leverage. It could just be, they said multi-year, but I'm like, you know, it was, the announcement came from the PFL. So we don't really know what ESPN side is, because, you know, PFL is the one saying it. And as you and I both know, a lot of promoters like to put extra sugar on their sugar coating.
Yes, they do.
So, I mean, really quick, before we talk about what lies ahead, talking about PFL championships and their champions, I always mess up his name. Oliver Aubert Mercier, OAM, as everyone calls him, Canadian champ that won at the PFL championships, announced his retirement. And we were just talking about it before we recorded. I feel like that's probably the most boss move to date in combat sports as far as MMA is concerned.
It's one of them. Yeah. I mean, it's one of them, that one that paid off. I mean, you had guys try to leave the UFC to fight Fedor and stuff, and it didn't work for them. They got good paydays, but it wasn't victorious, you know, and then they had to go back to the UFC or in Tim Sylvia's case, go to, you know, fight, you know, get knocked out by boxers and stuff. yeah, terrible fights. I mean, I really think it is. What else would you do? I mean, he went from going from like a 2020 contract with the UFC to, you know, six fights later, roughly. Mm-hmm. Maybe he had a qualifying one or something. So six, seven fights max later, the dude just pocketed $2 million over a 2-year span. And I mean, there's really nothing to compare it to that I can think of, where a guy who was kind of, you know, he put on some good fights, but was kind of an afterthought for the UFC, going somewhere and really raking it in. I mean, who was it? Palmer? Who was the two-time champion in PFL out of Uriah Faber's camp?
Jesus, I shouldn't know his name.
I know.
I know. But Lance Palmer.
There you go. He won two tournaments but he wasn't, mm-hmm. he had come from what more the WEC, I think more, some of the stuff back in the day, but,
and then he fought World Series of Fighting and before they turned to
there you go. Yeah. So he worked his way up there, but, you know, he was a guy who, but he didn't go directly from the UFC.
The conversation was had like when he won the second title after their season format and got $2 million. I mean, there was articles being written that were saying like the UFC can't afford Lance Palmer now because, you know, the guy's a millionaire.
Why would he go to the UFC offer? It doesn't make any sense. He can take the next 10 years off and still mm-hmm. have as much money in the bank as if he would have just fought in the UFC for all that decade instead. But yeah, I mean, power move. Great way to end your career, man.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go on top better than to that. Yeah. Congratulations to him. And, you know, like I said, it sounds like he's going to stick with maybe working with them. So
mm-hmm.
that's even better, man. Lifetime, you know, paychecks are always good to keep collecting, no matter how many millions you got.
Yeah, and if you guys have been following my work at Spectation Sports, I have his teammate Michael Dufort, who just picked up the Cage Titans title, fought in the PFL, you know, picked up the Cage Titans title, fighting on the other circuits, and the last thing he told me, you can go to their YouTube channel to check out the interview, was that he and the PFL were having in conversation. But like one of the things he was kind of like a little frustrated with was that how he hadn't gotten a call from the UFC yet. And, you know, Bellator PFL outside of the conversation with PFL, Bellator hadn't called up, but now he's, or his name is already in the Rolodex of two out of the three top organizations in this region. So I wouldn't be surprised if 2024 has Michael Dufort's name back on a PFL roster. Who's especially with his teammate being a former champion from this year. So some stuff to look forward to.
Speaking of stuff to look forward to, the Weekend of Violence really kicks off tomorrow night. I know there was a one championship card this morning that it looks like it had some stuff.
Kevin Nicholson chiming in before. I want to give some of my MMA pay-per-view buzz to PFL instead of the UFC, but PFL has to fix the pace. Yeah. The pacing between fight nonsense. It's so tedious.
They have a lot God. To work on. They got to get over the local scene. You said a
mouthful, Kevin.
Yeah, they got to get over that small time, you know, let's just kill an hour between fights so the fans can drink beers and, you know, that kind of attitude. But a lot of it has to do with the commercials. Who knows what kind of deal they had with ESPN. They may have had to fill that thing with so many damn commercials just to even mm-hmm. have the time slot that, you know, hopefully that's all been corrected because – like you said, you got people like you who want to go out and put money towards them and support them, which is awesome.
I mean, not for nothing. It's not an unknown thing. The fact that it hasn't changed, like it needs to change. You've acquired Bellator. You've renewed with ESPN. Somebody at the network should say, okay, listen, I get it. You want to do all this extra X, Y, and Z with the smart cage and this Celsius sports drink and the fucking razor blade deals you got, but we also got to keep we got to keep eyeballs on this. People are tuning out and doom scrolling in their phones, missing the fights because of your.
Yeah, let's just hope they never do, you know, PFL, Bellator salute the troops in Hawaii. We might be in for like a 14-hour card if they ever tried to do
that. That's one thing I'm sad. Like I feel like all that cool co-promotion that Scott Coker was doing is. It's gone by the wayside.
It's gone.
That right there is that, like, I need a fucking minute to get over that shit.
I'm with you. But like I was saying, this weekend, Violence kicks off tomorrow, BKFC 56.
Oh, my goodness.
We've talked to Wheelock. We've talked to, you know, some of the former champions. We've talked to Chris Lytle on the show. But really, this is one of the first shows that we've ever just kind of, our main focus is going to be on a BKFC fight card. And I see people getting excited online. I see the MMA fans getting excited online. I see a big smile on your face and you looking like me when I see it, when you know, the just bleeds starting to come out of you.
Yeah.
You're going to be painting your chest by tomorrow afternoon.
When we had Wheelock on and we talked about the, you know, because that was at the beginning. One of the times we had Wheelock on was like at the very beginning when they first announced Mike Perry and BKFC and something about that pairing and like the recipe. I mean, it's been paying off in full. Every time they put that man on, they come correct. And he's literally like, you know, if you want to use him like the way Michael Jordan is for boxing, or Muhammad Ali, I mean, or for basketball, and Muhammad Ali for boxing. And, you know, you have these fighters that kind of like, you look at them and they represent the sport. Mike Perry is fucking bare knuckle boxing. He's literally, to me, he's like a hammer in there. And I honestly, I mean, as much as, hey, I mean, you and me, I are both fans of Eddie Alvarez, longtime fans, but I mean, that's for MMA, bare knuckle, BKFC. I'm sorry, man. I mean, I know I don't mean to give my pick out there all early, but their picture's right here on front and center, and I can't help, I can't hold it in. I mean, I fear for Eddie Alvarez, because Mike Perry is, he is bare knuckle. He is BKFC, in my opinion. That's their poster boy.
Yeah, we normally don't start with the main event, but I don't think you can really avoid it, even though that was unintentional there. I don't think you really avoid it, because it is the fight that I think the fight world is going to be talking about tomorrow night. I really, you know, we saw it. I was lucky enough to be in Denver when it was Rockhold and Perry, and just seeing Twitter blowing up with just everything from that fight. And the co-main that night was Mendez versus Alvarez, which was a barn burner and really the fight of the night that night. Yeah, I mean, you kind of said it well. I mean, he's kind of the Jerry West. He's kind of the logo of BKFC. You know, like bare knuckle fighting, he hasn't had enough fights yet, because there's some guys that are, you got the Palominos, you got some guys that are like 10-0 and stuff. You know, Adams, who we'll get to, one of the former heavyweight champions. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, you know, has a couple losses and, you know, 10-12 fights. But yeah, I mean, I think he's, if you were going to make a statue of the 2023 kind of bare knuckle fighter, and not say this is Mike Perry, but we're just going to have a mold of kind of the attitude and everything that they put off, he really kind of fits that. And, you know, in MMA, he kind of got lost in the mix, because he wasn't, you know,
in MMA, he was like a meme. Like, people, it was funny to, oh, look at Mike Perry. He's walking into the wrong song, and X, Y, and Z, and his girlfriend's in his corner. But in BKFC, it's like, dude, like, you're going against Mike Perry. He's hurting people. He's a force in there, and it's just this fight. I mean, and not to take away from Eddie Alvarez, because he's a force in there too. But, you know, I watched the press conference, them going back and forth at the press conference, talking about Palomino. Palomino wants the winner of this, which is, again, that fight already sells itself.
Can we have a triple threat?
Yeah, like, not for nothing, that fight sells. Palomino against any of these guys sells itself. And if you don't know who Luis Palomino is, go on PFL's website, look at his two fights with Justin Gaethje. I mean, there's a reason him and Justin Gaethje headlined twice when it was World Series of Fighting. Just fireworks from guys like them.
Yeah, and you know, the weird thing, you mentioned, you know, some of the stuff about, there was always stories about Mike Perry, about his wife and his girlfriends, and but it seems like, you know, now I saw a picture the other day, it looks like he's got a couple kids now. Looks like a fan. I mean, it just seems like it. And Sean Wheelock talked about how professionally he was. And when we first talked to Sean, that interview, I got to be honest, in the back of my head, I was kind of thinking, like, okay, like, he's the new guy in town, it's kind of an act, you know, is that really the Mike Perry? But then you've seen him kind of develop into this prize fighter who's, you know, you're not getting the same kind of disrespectful stuff from him. You're not getting kind of the out of control outburst.
No,
it's more really focused, and more of a kind of a murderous attitude of like, I'm here to do a job, I'm going to clean you up. And, you know, like, there hasn't been a lot of trash talk in this fight. You've had some stuff. Maybe there was some stuff at the press conference.
But yeah, no, there was definitely trash talk at the press conference. Yeah,
I didn't catch it yet. I didn't get a chance to catch it. But that
worth watching.
But that's the stuff that's in the week prior to the fight. They haven't been online trashing each other's families
It's actually like an old school, like the press conferences that used to be enjoyable. Where, I mean, there's trash talking, but it's about, you know, their technique and, you know, how who's got the more of a chin and stuff like that, and just like they went back and forth about their boxing, which, you know, boxers, pure boxing purists will be like, come on, none of you guys can really box, but this isn't really boxing, this is bare knuckle. And I mean, the back and forth between he and Alvarez, and then Palomino jump kind of went back and forth with with actually he was more going at not for nothing. Alvarez seemed to have a bullseye on him at that press conference from both because Palomino was like when he was like, I want to know if any of you are gonna fight me, you know, depending on who wins. And he actually kind of looked at Mike Perry and was like, I already know your answer because we know the answer is yes. But he just stayed focused on Alvarez. And I think that's because of Alvarez, you know, not for nothing. He's a senior man in the sport, you know, senior man for combat sports. The damage he's taken over the years. I mean, I know he won against Chad Mendez, but Chad Mendez is kind of just like another him that he fought. Mike Perry still... Mike Perry, there's just something about it. He just seems more durable for this stuff. I don't know if it's because he doesn't care or he's so emotional about competing under this format, but he just seems more. It seems like a real dangerous fight for Eddie Alvarez. I mean, I'm gonna be, you know, I'm gonna celebrate if he wins, but you know, it's really, if this fight is not on your radar for this weekend, like I don't know what the fuck you're watching anymore, like, or what's wrong with this world.
Yeah, you know, I like both these guys, but I love Eddie Alvarez is one of my favorite fighters of all time. I mean, so I will go into this fight rooting for Eddie Alvarez. I don't think he's gonna win. I don't think his chin's gonna hold up. I think he's gonna be the smaller man in the fight. I know he'll be the smaller man in the fight. You can even see it in the face-offs and stuff. But this is bare knuckle boxing / fighting. You know, it, all it takes is one big straight on the chin and you might see Perry flat on the ground and frozen. You know what I mean? Like it's not out of the question. Mm-hmm. And Alvarez is one of those guys who's willing to go to the depths of hell to try to do that.
About toe the line, that these two will literally put their feet in front of each other and not move and just fire away.
Yeah, like if one of these dudes quit on the stool, it would be one of the biggest shocks in the history of sports to me. Like
somebody's going out.
Expect somebody to go out. You know, maybe a decision if it turns into this kind of like the Mendez fight where I just don't know if Alvarez has enough one punch power to really kind of change the momentum. With the Mendez fight, Alvarez got knocked down early, but he was able to come back with a couple knockdowns of his own. Mm-hmm. And Mendez isn't Mike Perry, but it you know, can he hurt Mike Perry enough to open up the shots that could potentially end the fight? You know, or at least hurt him enough where he can win 3 of the 5 rounds and squeak out a decision.
Yeah. Because
it's not out of the question if he's active, but he just – both these guys get hit. And, you know, I just hope we don't get some kind of stupid cut stoppage. You know,
the fight's
in Salt Lake City – which is not exactly the fight capital of the world. Mm-hmm. So you always, the good thing is they have that doctor that many of the people have praised, you know, that they're kind of their in-house guy. So he kind of seems to kind of run the show there and seems to do a good job, with the cuts, you know, specifically. I got to pick Perry to win. I think he wins by TKO. I really do. If Alvarez wins, I'll jump out of my seat. Like, you know, celebrate, same kind of thing. And it'll be, but I just feel like if Alvarez wins, you probably get a rematch of this. So Palomino probably gets put to the sideline. I mean, how do you not rematch? If BKFC wants to keep Mike Perry, they got to give him the fights. And I imagine if he were to lose this fight, the first thing he's going to want is revenge.
Yeah,
so they're going to have to do some stuff. Palomino does deserve a super fight. It would be nice to see them bring over another stud for him where they can really have a big headline fight that he deserves. But just a great fight. Just a great, dirty, grimy, you know, bare knuckle. You know, like you said, it's not everybody's tea, but you know, you might want to sip on it this weekend just to get a taste. You know, pinch the nose and swallow it down because you're gonna see
highlights from this. I guarantee there's gonna be highlights all over social media. Talk about some other fights. This fight right here, I mean, these two ladies were going at it at the press conference too.
Rematch from last April, out in Denver. That's when Connor showed up, and you know, chaos ensued ringside, and Fahey ended up winning that fight, dominating that fight. I'm kind of surprised there's even a rematch, but I guess when you got the two biggest names kind of in their organization and in this weight class for women, I guess you just throw it out there. We're doing a big pay-per-view fight. We'll put the best two. Who cares if they fight 1,000 times? You know, it's who we got, and it's who's going to help sell tickets. So let's just put them out there. You know what I mean? So I think that's a smart move. I don't think you don't have half the world that's three quarters of the world that's going to be watching this is going to have no idea they even fought 6 months ago. So it's not like, you know, it's not like it's going to be fresh in a bunch of people's minds, you know. Me, you, some of the people that really watched it might, but you know, I look forward to this brawl. I think Fahey wins again. I think Rawlings had her run, but Fahey is just a damn beast in there, man. She goes in there. I mean, she's one of the few people I saw her make a girl, you know, Taylor Starling, who went through one of the biggest wars in BKFC history in the early days. You know, she actually quit like after 10 seconds. She took like 2-3 shots and was like, yeah, no, this is not happening. You know, somebody who went through a train wreck in one of her other fights and proved to be extremely tough had wanted no part of getting her face crushed by Christina Fahey. So while I don't think Rawlings will quit like that, I just think she gets beat up. I think she gets beat up and Fahey wins. Maybe not a finish this time, but I think she dominates.
No. I mean, that's what I have in my notes too, just because of the last fight, her experience, and you know, it's hard to not see her retain that title. The next fight is their featherweight championship bout. I don't know, man. I mean, you watch these guys more than I do. I'll let you chime in first. I have my pick written down, but I want to see if you say anything that'll make me change my mind.
No, I mean, really, all you've got is I've seen both these guys fight. Stewart's, they got him as 4-0 there. Again, it's hard to confirm their exact records on some of this bare knuckle stuff, but he's got a nice win over the other guy who looks just like him, Rusty Crowder, and Davis is like 4-1, 5-1. With a draw against Francisco Rivera or not Jimmy Rivera, I think Davis wins. From what I've seen, he seems to have a little bit more of a big punch, he does come off as a little bit less experienced, although he has more fights on the record here when he fights. But I'm going to say Davis, but not you know, I have no idea what the odds are. I do know that Mike Perry was a favorite over Eddie Alvarez, but I don't know the odds for this fight. But I'll go with Davis just maybe for some pure athleticism. That doesn't always mean a lot for bare knuckle fighting here, but I feel like he's maybe more of an athlete and more of a, you know, brings a little bit more heat with his punches.
It's funny you're saying that, because like when I was putting my notes together for this tonight and looking at this card and looking at their records, I mean, I was looking at Davis and I was initially going to pick him. I mean, what I have written down is Stewart, but you know, being undefeated versus someone that has a loss on their record and fighting for a title, you know, they want to separate themselves for that. So I could see him having more drive to win, or just as much drive as Stewart to retain this title. You know, Stewart's drive to retain the title equates that of Davis's, you know, will to kind of, you know, take it from him. So I think that's going to make for a fun fight. But I mean, my initial pick was Stewart, so I'll leave what I wrote down.
Yeah, I mean, I would bet the odds are close on the fight. I don't think there's a huge discrepancy between the two.
Yeah. And then, I mean, they have another title bout. I mean, right? This is a...
Yep, heavyweight title's back on the line after Alan Belcher moved on to Misfit Boxing and then Masvidal game-bred bare knuckle, where he picked up the controversial win recently over Roy Nelson. So the belt's back vacant. Former champ who was dominating Belcher before getting countered and put down in the third round, Arnold Adams, Who comes in at 7-2, one of the guys I mentioned earlier, kind of cleaned out the heavyweight division at one point. His previous loss before his last fight was to Chase Sherman at BKFC 7. So you're talking a big span. He did take – there was a while where he wasn't around, but, I mean, he beat the Klecklers. He beat the Beltrans. He beat Joey Beltran twice, and anybody who's followed this sport knows that that's quite a you know, quite a thing to have on your resume. Terrell's come in. He's 6-1. Hurt a lot of people, big puncher from the UK. But I'm going to go with Adams. Adams is one of those guys who's kind of like a, I don't want to say Mayweather because Mayweather was like super special, but he's one of the guys that really uses like technique, and he wears down his opponents with good technique, doesn't tend to take a lot of big shots. And obviously he got caught by Belcher and stuff, but his, I feel like we're going to see a more fired up Adams, maybe a better in shape Adams, a more focused Adams who is just going to be able to do what he was going to do before. It seemed like he was a heavyweight who kind of saw everybody's punches and was able to kind of, you know, matrix it like Anderson Silva, but just could avoid it, especially for a 260 pound man, you know, or 270 pound man. And again, the jab, just his real smooth punches, but he lands them, and he's a big dude who, when he lands them, it tends to drop people. I didn't think he'd beat Klecklers. I didn't think he'd, you know, I didn't know what would happen in his Beltran fight, and he dominated and cleaned out both of those guys. Terrell, like I said, has been really exciting to watch, but I don't know if he's, I think Adams is just a really, really good heavyweight. Coming off a fight that he probably should have won and probably should be defending his title here for like the seventh time in a row, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I think a lot of those, I think the wear and tear might be an issue, especially in this sport with Adams. So I actually have Terrell picked for this one for that reason. I just feel like he might be the fresher man. As far as, damage that they're carrying with them long term, so to speak. So that's why I'm going with him. I didn't really do any.
They had fought before.
Yeah,
loss Terrell has, he was finished by Adams. So you know, he was finished in the second round on the Van Zandt. That was what was Knucklemania 1. They fought. So there is, you know, there is the history, but that was a while back now.
A lot of things have changed.
Like you said, the wear and tear, that was a handful of fights and some time away from the squared circle for Adams. But I think it's going to be, I just think it's a great fight. It's, you know, these fights, you expect them to last about 30 seconds, you know, but you figure that 30 seconds is going to be really, really fun to watch. You know, that's kind of how it is. So,
I mean, we got a UFC card this weekend too, but I don't want to like, go over all these fights, but just really quick, but I mean, just for folks know, the prelims are going to be on FUBU Sports. They have been showing them on Prime Video too, and I think they might be on YouTube as well.
BKFC but, YouTube channel usually has them also.
But I mean, everybody, you know, with Jeremy Stevens and Rivera fighting, this is something that's a fight that I mean, all you UFC centric folks will probably want to tune in for. I don't know, man. I mean, this is Steven's first one in there, right?
First one in there, just signed, just became aware of him even signing with BKFC. It seemed like just a couple weeks ago. You know, Rivera's coming off of a win, and then he had that draw with, as we mentioned, with Davis earlier. You know, it's unknown. It's hard to say. Rivera's went in there, but he hasn't looked super impressive. You know, he won his fight, but it was by decision, and then he had obviously had the draw. So he's been five rounds in both of his fights. Hasn't fought smart, but just hasn't really, you know, lit a fire under me as a fan per se, in BKFC for him. Steven seems like he brings everything to the table, like someone Mike Perry kind of brings to the table. You know what I mean? Yeah. He kind of got that insane attitude a little bit with the, you know, with the just kind of the insanity, ready to hurt someone attitude, you know, and he did it a lot in the UFC and, but he was about a 500 fighter, you know, he had his ups and downs in the UFC, fought forever, but you know, he was hit him, get hit kind of guy. So
he's the who the fuck is that guy, right? That's Jeremy. That's the guy that Conor was. Yeah.
Yes.
Just for, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
like, and it sucks that that's his claim to fame from MMA, but, you know, like I just said about Mike Perry, I mean, Mike Perry was like a meme character in MMA versus what he, the force that he is in BKFC. So the comparison's all there. Like the history is there, the historical comparison's there. The way they fight is kind of, you know, they're definitely hammers when they throw. I wouldn't be surprised if he can change his whole, you know, outlook, the image that he has with fans if he repeats the same success Mike Perry has done in BKFC.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance. So I mean, if I'm making a pick, just kind of blindly, not knowing Stevens, because I've never seen him fight bare knuckle, mm-hmm. I will pick Stevens just because of the ability that I've seen him in the past to put people down with one punch. Rivera, not so much. Even in MMA, not like I don't recall any just wipeouts, you know, with his hands. I mean, he had a good career, but not, you know, just not so much of a stand-up kind of wild man style. I think while that could, but like I said, Stevens is a hit get hit kind of guy. If he comes out mm-hmm. there super wild and gets countered, there's not really much coming back. I mean, you do see some great comebacks, but not all that, you know, it's a low, low percentage. When you get hurt in BKFC, you usually get finished. Mm-hmm. You usually get finished because it's real.
You know? It's very when you think about this, a bare hand striking your flesh, especially in the face or whatever. I mean, the likelihood of that precise precision contact that of force that you have, wherever it lands, could cause so much damage. That's why the stoppages happen. But that's what makes it such a old school, you know, competitive
adrenaline junkie kind of thing, you know. So bloodthirsty. I don't know, man. A great card. It's a shame we lost Duffy Rothwell.
Looks like
that's being rescheduled to February. I mean, if you had that on this card, you know, I'd be getting on a plane to Salt Lake City tomorrow morning. I mean, this is this is everything that I enjoy about combat sports, is fight like this. Let's just hope that the fights live up to the card itself and it all pays off, because like you said, we don't know who's paying for all this stuff. But the bottom line is we haven't heard a complaint about it. And as long as everybody's getting paid and people are happy and everybody's kind of saying great things about the owner, Feldman, and Feldman seems to be a decent lead man for the stuff that they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. I wish them all the damn best, you know. It's like, especially in a world like now where we may have just lost Bellator, like we need there to be successful companies.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be competitors to the UFC, but we want, why can't there just be a handful of companies that make a profit, aren't worth $9-10 billion, but put on good fights, make some people some money and allow fighters to compete and
do what they love. Yeah.
Do what they love, you know? Yeah. And it's like, not, maybe not super restrictive, like, contracts. Like,
yeah. And that really quick, just cause you know, the other thing that we didn't talk about when we were talking about the acquisition thing, you know, you got all these Bellator fighters under contract that are like, okay, cool. Like, when can we fight? Because right now we're all on pause. And I mean, we chose this profession where we kind of need to fight. So, you know, Aaron Jeffrey's next in line for the title against Johnny Eblen. And that's where Bellator left off. Like you need to book that right away, PFL. But
see, I feel for somebody like Aaron Jeffrey, because historically, that's the fighter in that position is the fighter that gets screwed.
I know.
You know what I mean? He because all of a sudden they'll do a title versus title, or they'll bring in a big free agent to fight Eblen, or you know what I mean? Like that's historically that's their move.
Happened. Yeah, they definitely, like, not for nothing, if they played poker, you'd know all the moves PFL is going to make, because that's exactly what you just said, is exactly what they would do. I remember speaking, I forget who I was talking with, or maybe it was a tweet or something I saw online, but like PFL needs to bring in like fight people. Like, you have to stop using your Hollywood bullshit marketing influence or whoever the fuck is telling you to do the things you're doing, and bring in like a fight person, you know. Call Joe Silva, that's probably sitting home not doing, say, hey, well, you want to do this as like a side project, a consultancy or something? They got to do something. They need somebody that fucking gets it, because this weirdness with the smart cage and the fucking, you know, XYZ and all the extra bullshit, nobody cares about that. I think Kaposa said it best. Like, you need to make fights. We, you know, all the other bullshit doesn't matter. Just make the fights.
No, and I made a comment to my cousin while I was watching it on Black Friday. Like, that's a busy screen, man. I was just curious how what round it was, and I looked at that screen and I saw like 48 numbers. You know what I mean? Like it was a busy screen. It was names. It was punch speed. It was punch power. It was, you know, yeah. Height, weight,
length. They're gonna have a takedown of the night, and then they're next year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh god. is that for real?
Yeah.
So you're gonna have people shoot for takedowns with a minute left to try to earn a bonus?
Yeah, they're gonna do bonuses, and because they signed a deal with an apparel company called Takedown. So now that makes a takedown of the night. That's what I'm saying. Everything they do is like of this fucking shiesty, you know, car salesman type of fucking marketing gimmicks that they do.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I cross my fingers that best case scenario, we get a good year of just chaos and fights. Because I don't think I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong more than you can even imagine, but I feel like I'm a beat down. You know, I've seen it so many times. We were told Pride was going to continue going. Mm. You know, remember Strikeforce was going to continue going for a while. Remember WEC was going to continue going. Remember, you know, this stuff was going to continue going, and never did. There was never another event. You know what I mean? Strikeforce ran a couple under Zuffa and stuff, but there was no reason. There was no reason. Yeah. Fight Nights should have been Strikeforce. Should have been Strikeforce. Mm-hmm. UFC Strikeforce Fight Nights should have been UFC Japan Pride. I mean, there's so many things that.
Yeah, were they went. They went to Japan and did their same shit that they do instead of holding it like when Coker did his stuff, like, to, you know, he tried to make Bellator look like the American version of Pride as much as he could. I mean, he didn't get enough credit for what he tried to do while he was there. And before we move, just briefly talk about the UFC card this weekend, to close out the show, Black Belt Magazine wrote something really cool about Scott Coker. Chris Cyborg shared it, and that's how I came across it. And I reshared it too. So if you check my X handle, Twitter handle, you can find it. But it was a great write up on just how Scott Coker kind of just really loves martial arts competition and try to do pretty much a fucking what we all kind of us old school fans kind of wanted for the sport. If anyone came as close to doing it, it was him. In my opinion, he just tried too early, but it is what it is.
The pandemic.
Yeah.
It's what happened.
Yeah.
They had momentum going.
Paramount's just run by a bunch of fucking shitheads.
Yeah, and it seems like they were run by a company who, for some reason, got super involved with them that really didn't want anything to do with them from the start.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to hear me say it. Mike Hogan just did a whole thing with Ariel Helwani where you can listen to how, I mean, Paramount is just like, you. There's a guy named, if you want to just really look up Al Dunlap and Sunbeam Foods, that seems to be what's happening with Paramount. If you look up the history of Al Dunlap and Sunbeam Films, they call him Chainsaw Al. I feel like that's what's happening with Paramount right now. And, you know, that's why combat, all their sports is just fucking gone this year. And that's that. But really, we're almost out of time. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention the UFC Austin card this weekend on ESPN is actually pretty, pretty freaking good. I mean, people talk about how there's too many, you know, just because there was a week off. So maybe no one's complaining about too many UFCs, but this card is actually really fucking good. Like, this UFC Fight Night on ESPN
it's as good as it gets for fight nights nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's luckily what they're giving fans when they actually decide to show up to an arena with people for a fight night. Yeah. Like you said, it's got, you know, there's some, you know, I mean, just for even the casual fan, there's 5, 6, 7 really good fights on this card that most everybody can relate to. Some of the fighters is you know, as far as knowing them in the past. Dariush versus Cesaryukin. Does that work? Sorry, I don't know exactly the pronunciation. Especially. Yeah. But, you know, Dariush got his kind of number one contender fight with Oliveira, got taken, you know, got beat, finished. So you can number 8 ranked, Dariush 4.
Yeah, these odds are pretty spot on, I think, from DraftKings on the UFC.com.
Yeah. Right?
Plus 240 underdog for Dariush, and Saryukin's the Armenian dude is minus 298. So,
because, I, you know, yeah. I, I feel like Dariush kind of had his run. I feel like he's kind of like hit the Tony Ferguson wall, the George Stauratopoulos wall. You know, the guys who had really long, weird winning streaks in the UFC history, but never were given true title shots. You know, and the opportunity, and then they eventually hit a wall and lose a couple in a row, and it's over. You know, the dreams of an actual title fight are over. So
what's funny is Tsarukyan and Bobby Green almost fought in the hotel. That video is all over the internet now.
Yeah.
But yeah. You were saying?
No. I mean, I'm just gonna say I think Tsarukyan wins. I think Dariush, like I said, I think he's his wall. And you know, I think he kind of got screwed because that he's in the lightweight division at a time where there was five lightweight killers that the UFC just preferred ahead of him most of the time. And while he, you know, almost became a gatekeeper, just beating everybody they put in front of him.
He
he was always one fight away, and then the Oliveira fight came and now we're here. So we'll have to see what happens. It's a big turning point in his career at this point. A win, he's right back in the mix. A loss, you probably don't see him for in a mega while. Fight yeah. for a while. You know, he's back, probably back down to the prelim headliner kind of thing. So
yeah,
I don't know, but nice fight. Co-main event, Jalen Turner versus Bobby Green. Hell of a fight. I know Turner took the fight on late notice. I know he made weight despite people thinking he didn't look great this week and making it. I see that he is a slight favorite over Bobby Green.
Yeah, for some reason I can't blow it up, but yeah.
You know, Bobby Green coming off of a quick win just a couple weeks ago against Grant Dawson. Oh, boy. My brain's telling me to take Jalen Turner, but my heart's kind of telling me to take Bobby Green. I kind of feel like Bobby Green might be on a little run right now and might be able to hurt a slightly inexperienced in the sense that, you know, he hasn't been in a ton of huge fights in Jalen Turner. You know, this is the highest up on the card I think he's ever fought. Especially in front of a live audience. This isn't the apex where you're kind of in your own little shell there. So I'm going to take Bobby Green. I'm going to say he wins by decision, by kind of just picking his shots, dancing around, doing his thing. And
he's the underdog with the DraftKings odds. They have him at plus 130.
But that's a coin flip. I mean, anything under like 170.
Plus 130 should Turner's minus 155.
Yeah, I mean, it's so close that I don't, that's like, okay, we think he might win the split decision. So we'll, you know, that's basically what that's telling you. I'll just go with Green. I think the late notice might be something for Turner because he didn't seem super excited about taking the fight. Seemed like it was something he kind of admitted that he felt like he was forced to take.
I mean that's saying a lot too, especially with the what you said about the weight miss and everything. But I mean, oddly enough, I'm not there's not many fights I'm really hyped about, but one of them that I am. Again, this card is good, though. I do like that fight. I'm not super excited to see the main or the co-main. This bantamweight bout, though, you know, Davison Figueiredo versus Rob Font is on there, and I feel like it's going to be super entertaining. That being said, I'm a little surprised at these odds. I feel like it should be the other way around. These DraftKings minus 130 for Font. Versus the slight underdog, you know, the plus 110 for Figueiredo. I don't agree with that, but I guess we'll see on fight night. But I can tell you that this fight won't be boring.
So you want to remind me the last time Figueiredo fought at 144 pounds?
Is this fight at that?
It's 135 pound fight.
Yeah.
Figueiredo's coming up from 125 in his
quadrilogy
with
Moreno. Yeah. Maybe that might be why I like him.
Yeah, well, but I was going to say, okay, well, if they're doing this at featherweight, then I'll take Font all day long because you're asking Figueiredo to put on 20 pounds for this, you know, but it's at 135. So that's, you know, I don't, where they got 147 and 144, you know, good job, UFC. Still, with that said, Rob Font's coming off a nice victory. But Figueiredo is 21-3. He's former champion. You take away the Moreno fights, he's 21-1.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with Figueiredo. I think Font has a really good chance in this fight, especially being on the roll he's kind of on. But mm-hmm. I'll go with Figueiredo. By decision. If anybody finishes somebody, I think it'll be Font finishing Figueiredo with a punch. But I'll go Figueiredo.
I'm calling Figueiredo by guillotine.
There you go. There you go.
Hey. Yeah, but this fight, not for nothing, this welterweight bout. I mean, I'm going to tell you what I wrote down. I wrote down Brady as my pick, but I want Kelvin Gastelum to win. And after seeing him weigh in today and how he looked and how easily he made the weight, I feel like this. I should change my answer. But we'll see. I mean, Brady's no joke.
No joke. History would tell you, based off where Calvin's kind of been, maybe he's the more elite ish fighter. Mm-hmm. But he also had a terrible run where he had, you know, didn't pick up a lot of wins. Huh. 170. 170, I got to go with Gastelum. If he's healthy at 170, I got to go with him. If he's hanging with some dudes at 185 against some of the killers he was trying to fight, I gotta go with him if he's a healthy 170.
Yeah. I got like when I saw him at weigh-ins today, I got shades of him when he almost beat Israel Adesanya. You know, that was the Kelvin. I mean, he lost that fight, but he almost won it. And I was like, yo, that's the Kelvin Gastelum I want to see. And the energy that he had at weigh-ins today, I was very happy with that. So I wrote down Brady, but I want Kelvin Gastelum to win. And then who else we got on here?
Some of the prelims you got Clay Guida fighting.
Guida by decision.
Ooh, he's a big underdog in that fight.
I know, but it's Clay Guida, and he's, you know, he's plus 250, yeah. Against Joaquin Silva.
I just don't like the matchmaking. Yeah. I figure you might as well, if you're gonna have Guida in a fight, have him fight another kind of veteran that's not a 3-1 favorite, you know.
Not liking the matchmaking. Why the hell is Misha Tate and Julia Avila on the prelims on ESPN Plus? Like, these ladies should be on the main card, god damn it.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people don't like women's MMA and they're vocal about it, you know, they don't. You know, it's time to go get some popcorn or something, but I don't know how you don't have this fight on it. Misha Tate's a UFC Hall of Famer, former champion, you know, second fight back, I believe it's her second fight back from the retirement. Julia Avila coming off of a terrible injury, first fight back. But before that, mm-hmm. she was doing some damage in the cage, you know, 9-2. Oh boy, this is really a tough pick because you got the unknowns. You don't know where Misha's at. You don't know, has her time passed? You know, is her time passed? And then Avila coming off the injury, you know, if Avila wasn't coming off an injury, I would definitely pick her to win just because I would think she'd be the younger fighter that the UFC's trying to build.
She had a baby, she got the injury, and she came, but she looks like none of that happened though. That's one thing I give to Avila is like, she definitely seems driven to get back in there and you know, start doing what she does. But
it's a good thing they're fighting in the Font Figueiredo weight class too. Good lord! UFC website sucks.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
$10 billion.
God. Maybe the PFL does have a chance.
Yeah.
Oh, and Bellotto. Bellotto's fighting. The one thing Bellator really missed out on was not signing Bellotto to fight Bellotto.
Yeah. That's probably why he's on the prelim, because they don't, like, we can't be putting him on ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that'll be the big guy they'll bring in to fight Eblen. Eblen versus Bellotto. Oh crap. But yeah, great fight. This is Saturday again. Let me confirm the times, because this is a ESPN main card, which
part of the reason why we're my time on it as well.
So 7. Okay, so
7 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, so there will be a runover with the BKFC card. So, mm-hmm. You know, the BKFC is a pay-per-view. I don't think it's going to be on the app unless there's a late-minute change.
Yeah.
But with a card like that, you can understand them trying to
trying to
financially put some money in the bank. So
yeah. Hey man, I mean, not for nothing. ESPN, if it's on ESPN Red, which is ESPN broadcast, record UFC, watch BKFC. That's what I do.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. And even if you can't afford the BKFC, definitely check Twitter, help their numbers out. And you know, if people are going to put these events on like this, like I said, doesn't have to be your favorite thing in the world, but we don't want everything to disappear. Once it all disappears, things don't get better. They don't get better. And then we'll be sitting around hoping that there's another BKFC 8 years down the line from now. So, fans can check out the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMA Hawk 21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Edit Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeerzol on Instagram, Old Head Carb on Twitch. Late show this week, but the fights are tomorrow. So anybody listening, if you could share our link and get it out there, we definitely appreciate it with the short time before the BKFC fights tomorrow. But
yeah, my fault, by the way. Sorry about that.
Whether you do or whether you don't, enjoy the fights, and we look forward to talking to you next time.
Peace.